Kitsuta.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kitsuta, I'm running late today, so let's get stuck into this. I trust you are well.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
That is good. Well, no surprise really over the result of the election in New Zealand on the weekend. After all votes tallied, Jacinda Ardern's centre-left party won 49.1%, bringing a projected 64 seats, and a rare outright parliamentary majority. They haven't had a majority like this for many years, Keith.
That's right. The parliamentary system is designed to prevent what Jacinda Ardern has just achieved, namely one party dominating the parliament. There's only one House of Parliament in New Zealand. There's no upper house. And in the 1980s, the country was put through incredible turmoil with the New Right economic reforms, ironically introduced by a Labour Party. And so it was decided that in future they would find an electoral system which would prevent any one government, any one political party dominating the government. And that was introduced about a quarter of a century ago. Indeed, I was in New Zealand talking to the then Prime Minister, Jim Bolger, who introduced the new system under pressure. He didn't really like it. But a lot of New Zealanders, a week after the election, didn't know they were going to get two votes the following weekend. It's an incredibly complicated system. Cynics said that the campaigners found the most complicated system in the world, which was dysfunctional, and then introduced it in New Zealand. But until last weekend, it worked. There was no political party that was able to get a majority. Now, in Jim Bolger's case, who was then the Prime Minister, introduced it, he was removed by his own party because as a result of that original election a quarter of a century ago, he had to then form a coalition government, which was the purpose of the system, with Winston Peters, who is a very colourful part Māori politician who runs or used to run New Zealand First. His political career finished at the weekend. So Winston Peters was very colourful, but very destabilising in politics. Jacinda Ardern, amongst all of her achievements, was able to keep control of him because she needed his support in Parliament for her outgoing government. Now, of course, she can govern in her own right and doesn't need to worry about any deals. I think with Jacinda Ardern, we've seen someone who's been incredibly effective at handling crises, but has not been very good at implementing her own party platform. It's interesting, a year ago, I was talking to some New Zealanders who are active in politics, and it seemed at that time that Simon Bridges, who was then the leader of the opposition, would actually perhaps become Prime Minister at the next general election. Now, what happened is poor old Simon Bridges got removed by his own party. His replacement didn't last very long either. They just had mental health issues. And then was replaced by Judith Collins, who's the leader of the opposition, the Conservative opposition. And she went down to defeat at the weekend, but she'd hardly had any time to establish a role for herself. But it does show that a week is a long time in politics. So Jacinda Ardern has failed to implement one of the major promises of her election campaign 3 years ago, which was to build more homes. Hardly any of those homes have been built. But she's been assisted by, ironically, the Christchurch massacre with the white terrorist who shot up the Muslims. Then there was a terrible volcano on White Island, which killed a number of people, including Australian tourists. And then, of course, got the COVID crisis. And this New Zealand election has been the first leadership election that we've had in a post-COVID world, if you like. New Zealand, up until a few hours ago, thought it had got rid of COVID. I notice there's now a report that there's been a COVID case acquired in through the docks, which is how this stuff seems to get into the country. But generally speaking, you know, she's seen as someone who acted quickly and decisively, shut down the country, but saved the country from the tragedy that's unravelling in the United States, UK, and Brazil at the moment.
So because of her majority, she doesn't need to, you know, basically form a coalition with anybody. But come the next election, because she's been able to govern on her own, come the next election, that may all change and she may need to depend on the Greens or another party to retain power.
Exactly. So she's got to be careful she doesn't offend anybody in the next 3 years. Because she may have, if she still wants to stick around for another 3 years, she will have to probably go into the coalition, which is what the election system is designed for. This is the German model of elections. You know, the Germans remember what happened in the 1930s when you give one political party the chance to dominate the country. So the current German system is designed to ensure that there are always coalition governments, which is why after an election there's always this period of trading that goes on, trying to work out which set of parties will form a coalition government. This is Mrs. Merkel, been Mrs. Merkel's problem throughout her entire career as Chancellor. So the New Zealand system is designed to have coalitions. Because there is no upper house to restrain a government in power, then they figured that if they had another political party in coalition, it would force the government to be more restrained, to avoid taking extremist measures. Now, Jacinda Ardern is not an extremist, although she had days in the International Young Socialist Movement and all sorts of connections with the left wing of the Labour movement internationally. As Prime Minister, she's been incredibly conservative, middle of the road, but has failed to introduce the major changes that the New Zealanders needed. But she has been a very reassuring leader in a time of immense turmoil. She's had these three major crises, all in her first term of office, and she has managed to do well with those three crises. So in a sense, the electorate have now rewarded her for her good work. But what she's now got to do is to find out how on earth she's going to govern and build all the homes that she's promised to do and revive the New Zealand economy, which she's had to close down because of COVID.
What does this result say to other leaders across the world about the COVID situation?
It reaffirms the need for quick action. It's too late now for the United States and Great Britain. Indeed, I noticed in Great Britain there are now moves perhaps to have Boris removed because he was so slow to follow the scientific advice. Jacinda Ardern and also Scott Morrison have followed that scientific advice, and fewer people have died as a result of it. Remember, this COVID crisis is the biggest public health crisis we've seen for 100 years, and it's taken governments by surprise, but the New Zealand government has behaved very well indeed.
And so too has the Australian government.
Yeah. The Australian government has also behaved well and minimised the total number. And of course, you've got this continuing dispute down in Victoria. But by acting swiftly, by closing down the economy, by social distancing, wearing masks, etc., that has minimised the total number of people that would have been killed.
Just quickly, I've only got about 60 seconds, and I'm sorry to rush you, but revelations about Biden's son's dodgy business deals when he was vice president, they've appeared. Are these going to play into the hands of Donald Trump, these allegations?
Absolutely. And Hunter Biden, who's the son of Joe Biden, is just a spoiled rich kid who's making the most of his family's name.
Yeah, and I see the polls. They've dropped a little bit for Biden. He's still in front, but this would be, I suppose, that magic trick that Donald Trump would be wanting and rubbing his hands together at the moment if he can move the momentum forward on this.
Yeah, but don't forget, you're not elected by the number of people who vote for you.
That's right.
You are elected by the number of people who are in the Electoral College. And that's where Trump did well. Mrs. Clinton got 3 million more Americans to vote for her than did for Donald Trump. But nonetheless, she lost. So it's a question of getting those electoral votes. And Trump had a better strategy last time. Going to see if he can repeat that same strategy this time round on November the 3rd.
But these allegations certainly would not be helping Joe Biden.
Not at all. Not at all. And it just shows that, you know, the political class looks after itself and that a lot of politicians are just very corrupt or have corrupt children.
Dr. Keith, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Keith Suda from Global Directions.